Welcome to a special edition episode of On Aon, a podcast featuring conversations between colleagues on, well, Aon. This week, we hear from PGA Tour pro and this year's Aon Risk Reward Challenge champion, Scottie Scheffler, as he discusses his take on how better information and better advice leads to better decisions on the golf course. And now, this week's host, Andy Weitz.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the On Aon podcast. We're delighted to be here today with our special guest, Scottie Scheffler, PGA Tour professional, and now the winner of this year's Aon Risk Reward Challenge. Scottie, great to have you.
Glad to be on. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, to start the discussion, I just thought for our listeners, I want to take a moment to talk a little bit about the Aon Risk Reward Challenge. And for those of you not familiar, we started this back in 2019. And what it is a season-long competition across both the PGA Tour and the LPGA. And it highlights the kind of the best decisions that are made across the course of the season on some of our most challenging holes as the players compete across the tour. And so what it does is each year on both tours, we select a player who scores lowest relative to par over the course of the entire regular season, and they take home the Aon Trophy and an equal $1 million prize. And I got to tell you, this is a unique challenge and partnership, and we really think it's an important platform for Aon because it helps us kind of explain who we are. The parallels between, you know, the role you play with your caddy on the course, making better decisions, and how we deliver value to our clients. So we're thrilled to have Scottie as our winner and to have you here today with us. And I think before we get into it, though, I should probably level set. Shouldn't need to for any casual golf fan. You've had an incredible season. But let's talk a little bit about truly today, a fantastic performance by Scottie with multiple victories, a Masters victory, obviously, and now winner of the Aon Risk Reward Challenge. I know those are right up there next to each other in your mind. But to start, Scottie, can you tell us a little bit about your season and how you're feeling right now about the success you've been having?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've been playing pretty good golf most of the year. And I guess, you know, the results are starting to show. And for me, I've just, you know, I've been very pleased to have won a few tournaments. And, you know, I'm just hoping to keep that going as we go into the rest of the year. But, you know, I'm very fortunate to be in the position where I am. And, you know, I'm obviously very pleased to win this Risk Reward Challenge as well. I kind of pride myself on, you know, trying to be a good thinker out there on the golf course. And so to actually have the numbers and, you know, perform well enough to win a challenge like this is definitely, you know, it's very special to me.
Well, that's great. And it's been fun to watch the evolution going all the way back for us, at least as a Ryder Cup partner, to the Ryder Cup where you really emerged. And it's funny when we think about at Aon how we deliver value to clients, we talk about the idea that we try to give them better information and better advice and how that translates into better decisions that help them protect and grow their business. And obviously that's a partnership, if you will, between us and our clients. And I know you and Ted kind of have a similar approach out there. Can you talk a little bit about how you two kind of follow that same kind of approach so that you're prepared in any environment to, you know, succeed and perform at a high level?
Yeah, and Ted's been huge for me this year. You know, he's been doing a really good job and he does a lot of the prep work for us out on the golf course. And so whether it's researching ShotLink data, you know, that's what he's doing this morning as we're doing this. You know, he's at home working on the ShotLink data and just kind of
love
attention
it
to stuff. And,
yeah.
And so the partnership has been really important to me. And, you know, he's been a great influence for me on and off the golf course this year. And so it's been a great partnership for sure.
Fantastic. I'm curious, following up on that, do you feel like through the course of the season, as you came to these most challenging holes, the Aon Risk Reward Challenge holes, did your preparation change at all? Did you think, you know, a little bit more about how you had to navigate some of the decisions on those holes?
Well, I think for the most part, a lot of those holes, there's usually water. There's usually some sort of risk reward. Maybe the hole's drivable, something like that. And so you kind of have to work your way around that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And really just have faith in your decision. So when Teddy's doing all that research and kind of figuring out where the best scores are made from it to different pin locations, when I get up there on the tee box and we make the decision, I have a ton of faith that we made the correct decision. And over time, we're going to be gaining shots on the field just by making the right decision.
That's great. And it sounds like by the time you get up there to make that swing, a ton of preparation has gone into it. Hopefully you're not thinking in that moment too much about it. You have confidence in the partnership and you've kind of laid that groundwork so that you can go out there and excel.
Yeah, exactly. When I'm over the ball, whether it's, you know, 15 and Travelers, that's the one I can remember the most. I'm over there knowing that I'm supposed to go for the screen. This is where the pin is today. And we know it on the range before because you know the wind direction, you know where the pin's going to be. And so when you step up there on the tee box, it's kind of like my decision's been made and I'm going for it.
Dialed in.
That's it.
Yeah. Ready to roll. Love it. So that's great context. And you can see, obviously, the parallels we love to draw between how we serve our clients. And for us, it's all about clients and colleagues. And we're excited on this podcast that we have a ton of questions from colleagues all over the world. So we have 50,000 colleagues in 120 countries at Aon, and they've sent in questions that they wanted to ask you. So I'm going to put my notes here and switch gears a bit. So the question that I'm going to kick off with is, they say you've had success all throughout your career, going back to junior golf. For example, you won 3 straight individual state titles. Did you send this one in? Was this maybe somebody on your team? Achieving numerous awards in college golf, but this PGA Tour season has been an incredible breakout period for you. What one or two things would you say propelled you to this record level season? And did anything major change that you think led to this breakthrough, this latest success?
I think what maybe changed the most from last year to this year was, I think my putting stats have improved significantly. Growing up, I was always a really good putter. And then the last probably 2 years before this year, I just hadn't really putted that good. And that was something I kind of took back. And, you know, I looked back on my first couple years on tour, and I made some changes. I changed my setup this winter. And then it paid off kind of instantly. You know, you have, in order to win out here, you have to make the putts.
Right.
And, the guys you see winning each week, those are the guys that are putting the best, because there's tons and tons of good ball strikers out here. But the putter is kind of the separator when, you know, it gets towards the, you know, late in tournaments and stuff like that. And so for me, that was one thing that was always, that I really, really focused on this offseason. And then as far as kind of going through the steps of junior golf, college golf, Korn Ferry Tour, PGA Tour, I was always just trying to get a little bit better. Always a little bit better. I never changed my swing drastically. You know, my swing's a bit different than a lot of swings out here. And I was always just trying to make those little incremental improvements. And I never really thought too highly of myself. I was always just trying to get a little bit better, just improve.
Yeah, stay grounded.
Stay grounded, stay improve, get better. Yeah. And then just see where it leads. And I'm just trying to keep the same mindset.
Yeah, it seems to be working. Now, I'm curious. So you mentioned the putting piece. That's got to be something intellectually that you know. You know that's what separates you at the end of the day. It's where you can make up strokes with some of the greatest players in the world. What did it take to kind of shift your mindset and focus on that piece of your game?
Well, I was frustrated because putting was always a strength for me growing up. And in college, it was definitely a strength for me because I fought some things in my golf swing where I was hitting it awful. So if I wanted to compete, I was getting up and down from everywhere and I was making a bunch of putts.
Scrambling,
And I was able to do that for a period of time. And that's what was frustrating. It was like, man, this was a skill that I had and I've almost kind of lost it. And so just kind of going back to the drawing board, and I changed a few things with my setup. I work with the guys at Scotty Cameron. I work with my coach, Randy, and, you know, they put me in a position to where I had a ton of faith in what I was working on.
Yeah.
Where as maybe my first few years on tour, I was maybe working on too many things, and I kind of simplified it and just went from there.
So team focus and maybe even the data, like seeing that could really shift your game.
Yeah, seeing like what length of putts I needed to really work on.
Gotcha.
A lot of that stuff you can kind of feel, but then when you actually take a look at the numbers, that's a really good confirmation for me to have.
Right.
It's like, hey man, I feel like I haven't been putting good from, you know, 4 to 10 feet. Okay. Let's see what the numbers look like. And it was like, oh, you know, I really haven't. And
they don't lie. Yeah, got it. Cool. But listen, I got to keep going. We got a bunch of like questions here. All right, next up. What mindset do you have when you're doing really well for the first 9 holes? So this is kind of like a front nine, back nine question. In a high pressure tournament, you want to keep the momentum going. A lot of golfers tend to implode coming down the stretch if they're about to have like a career best round or something. This sounds like kind of a personal question. They're kind of asking, maybe they've been in this situation. How do you handle it?
So it's the same thing I tell the kids at Royal Oaks, because it's something I think you kind of grow into as a player. You kind of learn to shoot better and better as you continue to improve. And so when you're a kid and you're always getting better, as you're just continuing to learn the game and you start growing and you hit the ball further, you start shooting lower and lower scores. But a lot of guys get nervous because they're like, oh my gosh, you know, I could break 80 today.
Right,
I could break 70. And this is, and my thing is always like, why would you want to shoot 79 when you could shoot 76? And for me, it's almost like getting greedy on the golf course. It's like when I'm playing well and, you know, let's see, I shoot 500 on the front end. I'm like, man, I get excited. Like, clearly I'm playing well. Let's see if I can go shoot 6 on the back and just continue to just try and hit really good golf shots.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Definitely something to take away there. Next up, let's see. Oh, well, kind of a follow-up to that I wanted to ask, which is when you do get wound up, which doesn't seem like that happens a lot, what's your technique to calm yourself down? Like, how do you get back into
when I get frustrated?
Yeah.
Depending on the situation, but most of it is just trying to forget about the last shot and realizing that the next shot is the most important. And I think so that was something that Tiger was amazing at for years. And I noticed that I played them for the first time, I think, at the November Masters. And we weren't really in contention. We were in like 20th place. Like, he wasn't going to win the tournament. He ended up making like a 10 that day. It was either 9 or 10. He made on 13. It was that year.
Yeah.
And then he birdied 5 of the last 6.
Incredible.
And it doesn't matter the situation for him. It seemed like every single shot he was hitting was the most important shot that he's ever hit in his life. And it was just really incredible to watch.
Yeah, what a great learning. I mean, singular mindset like that, ability to...
Yeah, you hit the shot, and yes, he's going to get frustrated. You get frustrated when you hit a bad shot because you've prepared and you've practiced and you've hit that shot many times and you know that you can hit a good one. When you hit a bad one, it's frustrating, but you got to leave it there and realize that the next shot is the most important one.
Got it. Got it. Okay, next question, and this is a good one. How do you balance, a risk-reward vary during around an event? You know, and to what extent is that also affected by your score? So, are you really conscious throughout the round across 18 holes of where you stand, how you've been playing, and you're ready to go for it? You press a little bit. I mean, and how does that square with what you were just talking about? Every shot is equally important. Stay focused, stay in the moment.
Yeah, I would say over the course of a tournament, my strategy would never really change on a certain hole unless I knew I had to make a birdie or had to make an easy. And that's late in the round on Sunday. Outside of that, Thursday, basically, up until the back nine on Sunday, you're really just trying to make the lowest score possible on each hole.
Yeah.
So approaching the hole, let's say maybe this one's an iron off the tee, or I noticed that I'm going to score better over the course of 4 days if I just send driver here. So little stuff like that, it almost will never change unless we get to 18. I'm like, I got to make birdie.
Right.
You know, maybe there's a tough pin. I have to hit at it.
Yeah. Like that. Really situational then.
Very, very situational. Otherwise, I'm just looking at a 72-hole tournament. I'm going to play 12 four times. What's the lowest score? Or what approach would give me the best chance of making the lowest score for a total of
things? Unless, of course, it's an Aon Risk Reward Challenge.
Yes,
in which case, you're like, let's do this. Let's take what the course gives you.
Yeah,
it sounds like. Okay, gotcha. So here's another good one, and I'm interested to hear your response on this one. Who has been your inspiration throughout your golf career? And what type of message or impact do you hope to impress on those who follow you today?
Yes, that is a good question. For me, I felt like, I've always been surrounded by many people who've been around the game for a long time. So Randy Smith has taught me since I was basically 6 years old at Royal Oaks, and I was fortunate to be surrounded by a lot of the golfers that he taught. And they were always very kind to me when I was a little kid out there messing around. They'd let me watch him practice. I'd go out and play with him. We'd have putting contests, and they were always really kind to spend time around me.
Mm-hmm.
And those are guys like Harrison Frazier, Justin Leonard, Colt Knows, Anthony Kim was out there for a while. You know, Gary Woodland was out there.
Yeah.
And all those guys, you know, I felt like they took me under their wing. They were teaching me things. And I just got to sit there and watch. I got to watch professionals practice and play. And, you know, you can go to a tournament and watch, but it's so different when I'm sitting there and I could watch like Gary Woodland hit balls for 3 hours as he's working with Randy. And so those guys I always looked up to. I wanted to be like them. And so now, while I'm on the other side of it, when I'm practicing at Royal Oaks, there's a whole new group of kids coming up behind that can come sit in the car with Randy and watch. And, you know, I can teach them some stuff and they can come out and make fun of me and talk crap and do the same things I did to the pros as I was a kid. And so being on the other side of it is really cool. And, you know, I'm just trying to be as best of an influence as I can on their lives.
Yeah. It sounds like you're trying to be yourself, you know, be accessible, you know, take what you can from the folks who came before you. The game's evolving though. I mean, how do we make sure kids who don't have that kind of access, like as a pro like yourself, number one in the world, you know, to the future of golf, what do you look for? What do you hope happens in terms of, you know, what comes up and how the, you know, game continues to evolve?
Yeah, I think just giving greater access to it. Golf is tough because if you don't learn it when you're a kid, it's really hard to pick up on as an adult. And so as far as different things go from the governing bodies of golf, you know, making the game more accessible, giving guys those opportunities, you know, we do a bit of work in Dallas. There's a new golf course coming up called the Cedar Crest that we're trying to improve on and improve the golf course and give that community, which is an underserved community, more access to the game.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, like, going to a country club is such a gift to have as a kid.
Right.
So, and that's something that very few kids have access to.
Yeah.
And so growing up going to public golf courses and then having the opportunity. So we started the public golf courses and then were fortunate enough to join a private club.
Yeah.
It's so different being on this side because there's certain communities and certain people that don't think they'd even be welcome at a public golf course.
Yeah.
And so having that access for those people just to be introduced to the game,
right,
and realize that it's open to anybody because it's always been like that.
That's great.
But some people just don't realize that because their parents don't play, whatever that reason is.
Right. And there's such an opportunity with the pandemic and this, you know, a lot of people took up golf because you could play it outside. feels like the game is really growing. Having, you know, pros like yourself who are doing everything you just talked about is super important. So thanks. That's a great answer. All right. Last but not least, what advice do you have for someone looking to improve their, this is really technical, we're shifting gears here, looking to improve their short game? Is there a move or a swing shot? I mean, we could get up here. We could grab a wedge if we needed to, that you adhere to or you handle, you know, in different situations.
Golly,
you know, how do you boil that down?
It's so difficult because I have a group of guys I play with at home that have been trying to improve their short game for 20 years.
Right.
And just continuously get worse. It's so difficult because it's very lie dependent. But I would say for the most part, just being committed to some type of shot. And yeah. So like when I talked about my putting, my first 2 years on tour, I struggled a little bit because it was like 1 week I'd try this, the next week I'd try that. And so most of improvement comes from just sticking to something.
Yeah.
Even if it's a really simple thought, if you continue to work on that and practice it just a little bit at a time, you'll continue to improve. But when you try and do five different things at once, it's really hard to focus on the one thing.
Yeah.
And you kind of just bounce back and forth and you never really improve. And so when it comes to trying to make those little improvements, even if you're only able to play once a week or once a month, whatever it is, you have that one thought, whether it's making sure you're just trying to make solid contact, or I'm trying to have all my speed at the bottom of the swing, or I'm trying to have less wrist hinge. There's a few different things, but I would say if I could do one thing or tell my friends at home to do one thing, it would just to be make sure you have all your speed right at the bottom.
Gotcha.
The swing. So don't worry about the length of the backswing. Don't worry about anything else. Just be like, I'm gonna have all my speed right there. And we'll falter.
Yeah. This is the point at which I should admit this was my question.
Yeah.
It wasn't, but he makes it sound so easy, doesn't he? So I heard clear your mind, commit, repetition, and at least in my case, just solid contact. Yeah. That's all I'm looking for.
Keep it simple.
Yeah. Well, you definitely did this season, Scotty. You made it look easy as you've had like a historic season, multiple wins, a Masters victory. Now we're adding to that list of accolades, the Aon Risk Reward Challenge. We really appreciate you being with our colleagues today and making the time during the FedEx playoffs. Best of luck to you ahead over the next few weeks. And I just want to say thank you so much for taking time to be with us. And again, best of luck. And this concludes this episode of the On Aon podcast. Colleagues, great to be with you. Have a great rest of your day.
This has been a special conversation on Aon and this year's Aon Risk Reward Challenge winner. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this week's episode, tune in 2 weeks for a new episode around the food, agriculture, and beverage industry. To learn more about Aon, its colleagues, solutions, and news, check out our show notes and visit our website at aon.com.